right, day 18.
Yeah.
I feel like I need to give us like a little extra like rally here. we're in 2 Chronicles 5 through 10 and 14 through 16 today.
Yeah. So again, you talk about that rally. It's kind of this. Some people might be getting a little bogged down right now.
You can do it.
You get into this section of the Old Testament and you're just, and I'm not trying to warn anybody, but realize there'll be other times, you know, we get into those prophets. You're going to have some moments of like, ugh.
Yeah.
Encouragement. Mm-hmm. Don't get bogged down with the details.
The deposits you're making.
Yeah, don't. Yeah. And just don't get bogged down with details, right? We're not from here. We're not. Culture's different. Things are different. My encouragement is just look for the themes of what's happening and just kind of at least grasp, you know, what we're seeing. So with this section in Chronicles, we are going to look at, this is a lot more detail in Chronicles of kind of the formation of the kingdom of Israel, the establishment of the king, especially the line of David, the completion of the temple. We're going to get a lot, you know, told to us about Solomon and his the significance of his reign. So we're seeing now the events finished of the ark, the presence of God being brought to the temple officially. It's done, right? The presence of God is now at the temple.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to go into great detail with it, but you know, when we stop to think about this, this is encouraging because, you know, we hear about the temple and we don't think much about it, you know, because we're not used to that. But for New Testament Christians, for us today, you know, we're called the temple, right? This is the ark, the presence of God entering into the temple. Okay, so now my life is the temple and God. So there's such a beauty here of this, you know, symbolism of what God will do in a person's life now, wanting to dwell with them. And what I love about this, when it talks about the ark coming, this is one of my favorite parts of the Old Testament, is when it talks about God's reaction. This is in chapter 5 when it says that then the temple of the Lord was filled with a cloud. This is right at the end of the chapter. Filled with a cloud, and the priests could not perform their service because of the cloud. Yeah. For the glory of the Lord filled the temple of God. And
I did a double take on that one.
Yeah. I love the thought of that. That's telling you that, one, the presence of God was visible. Right. So there was a, you know, because it talks about him filling it in the cloud. And so there's a visible aspect of this. And then there's a physical response of God basically drives them out of like, just back off. This is my moment, you know. And that's always been an encouragement to me to think about how God wants to fill us. You know, that there is a physical reality of his presence and there's a response. And one of my prayers has always been, I've shared this before, one of my prayers has always been to be in a worship service someday that's similar to that, where God just shows up. And if I'm preaching or if Matt's preaching, wherever I'm at, or worship band, whatever's happening, we all just kind of, we can't play, we can't sing, I can't speak because it is so apparent God is here. So it's just this beautiful thing. And then you see this prayer of dedication, you know, this is a big deal, praying over the place and asking God that his eyes will be upon it. Again, as we read that, and if you go back, if you've already read it, but think about that again, you know, one of the things Solomon says in chapter 6, verse 20, he's like, may your eyes be open toward this temple day and night, this place of which you said you would put your name. Again, think about that. I am the temple of God, right? That same dedication of like, Lord, may your eyes be open towards this temple. My life may, you know, because this is where you've put your name. May you hear my prayer. You know, it's just this amazing imagery of the relationship we have with him.
I think one place where we kind of start to see Solomon going wonky is in chapter 8, where I can't remember if it said this in 1 or 2 Kings or not, if this detail was in there, but the fact that he had to build his wife a separate house.
Yeah.
Because he didn't want her anywhere near the ark.
Yeah.
Because she was pagan.
Yeah.
And so, like, that should have been, like, the links that he had to go to for that, it just blows my mind. Like, you knew. Like,
yep.
Oh, man. Yep.
And here's a guy that, this just shows, it doesn't matter how wise you are.
Yeah.
Wisdom does not breed humility.
Yeah.
And he,
and we still sin.
Yeah. So we see that, you know, you get into then talking about the Queen of Sheba, and you know, he's just, man, you're so amazing and awesome. And you hear about what people would bring him, and you hear all this of the life that he lived and his splendor, you know. I mean, the Bible's telling us this is how much gold that was brought to him on a yearly basis. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is legitimate to say, and I've heard this many, many times, no person has ever probably lived as rich as Solomon.
Yeah.
Like that had way, and he even tells us that, again, not Skippy, but Ecclesiastes, he's like, listen, I was so rich and powerful, if I wanted it, I did it. If I did whatever I wanted to do, I if I wanted a new house, I built it, you know. And so blessing is amazing, provision is amazing, but at the same time, we should always be
great responsibility.
Yes, yes, yes. There's humility is extremely important. Yeah. So that's, yes, we start seeing kind of the downfall then, mm-hmm. because this is the, if you think about it, there was only three kings before Israel split. Mm-hmm. You have Saul, you have David, you have Solomon. Mm-hmm. And then his son takes over and it falls apart.
It hits the fan.
And it continued to hit the fan ever since.
Yes.
So that's what we're seeing here. So you see the amazing moment of God's presence in the temple, and then you see man starting to jack it up.
Yep.
And that's just kind of how that plays out. And
man, God is patient.
He is, very much so.
Merciful.
He is.
All the things.
Yep, yep. So again, that's the theme to just remember as you're reading these sections. Just see the details, but just remember, you know, God, you know, he deals with us, and he grows with us, and there is consequences, but yes, he is faithful, he's gracious, he's always trying to draw us to himself. That's, again, the main theme, I think, through a lot of this. So just remember that.